We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good Minute Hummel podcast, and we got Robbie Hummel.
I'd known you since you were a kid.
I could blow my knee out, both knees, and still kick your ass.
We're trying to find the Robbie Hummel statue.
I wanted to kill you.
All right, welcome back. Another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman here from beautiful Salt Lake City, Rob. And you can't see it behind, but I'm right behind the Delta Center, where apparently your career high at the Delta Center was 4 points. 4 points.
No, it was more than that. It was definitely more than that. I don't know what the exact number is, but it was definitely like eight.
We need to fact check this.
Could. I mean, Basketball References is an incredible tool, so we could definitely find that out. There's a hotel where we would stay. I'm blanking. It's like the Great American Hotel. It's really nice in Salt Lake City. The chocolate chip cookies in the lobby are unbelievable. I swear to God, I would get like 10. They'd always have them fresh made when the team would come in, and I would just crush them.
You're just trying to get me to go over there, eat about eight of them, and look even worse when I have to put that jersey on at the pump party.
I know you haven't been working out.
And now
that you're on the triple grind, yeah, you're actually working this year. I think that it's going to be even worse for you.
It's going to be tough. Without that t-shirt on underneath, it's going to be a tough look. Like, there's going to be a lot of people laughing when I walk into the pump party, not just because I'm wearing your jersey, but because of my lack of definition.
Because of how little you've trained. You know, you just haven't readied yourself. That's
well, Charleston, and now I'm on the road. I'm going to see about five coaches today, hopefully in Utah. I'm going to try to set the record for seeing.
Where are you going? Where are you going to see?
So I'm going to go up and have lunch here with Eric Duff, the head coach at Weber State. Then I'm going to drive down and see BYU practice. They play Baylor tomorrow. I'll see Scott Drew. Saw him last night. I'll go over and see Utah Valley, Todd Phillips. And then I'm going to try to – I screwed up. I thought Craig Smith and Utah were on the road. They actually have a week off. I didn't realize – I thought they were back-to-back games on the road, but they have a week in between them, so I'm sure they're here today. So I'll try to get over and maybe see him later if I can. But
I like Craig Smith. He's always fun at Pactel Media Day. He's always a good time to interview.
Yeah, he ripped on me, I think, right? Didn't he rip
he
on
He did, yeah. He. But honestly, that was the sentiment at Pactel Media Day. Everyone that I interviewed either apologized that I have to work with you or just blasted you. It's either way.
It should be an honor. I mean, it should be an honor for you to get this in the twilight of my career to be able to work with me. It's like me working with Bob Ryan. It's very similar to me.
I feel it's more like... It's like, what was that kicker that was, it was, it's like playing with Morton Anderson when he was like 49. That's how I feel.
He still made him.
But his last year, he wasn't making him anymore, probably. Why would he stop? If he was still making him, he would have kicked when he was 50.
Speaking of which, I just watched the Buffalo Bills 30 for 30 on the flight over. I covered the Bills the last year of Andre Reed.
When they lost in three straight AFC titles?
Four straight.
It's good. That's a crazy story.
Crazy, really good.
Weren't they down like crazy big in like 34-3 and came back and won? Was that the division game?
Yeah, that was Frank Reich in the AFC.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's right.
Probably the greatest comeback in NFL history. Purdue did not put on the greatest comeback in college basketball.
Great segue.
Against Ohio State with a interim coach. Jake Diebler, coaching the Buckeyes. Chris Holtman was fired last week. We'll talk a little bit maybe about that here in a minute. But I want to know, are you ready finally? Are you finally ready to admit what I've been telling you for a month now? UConn is the best team in college basketball. Will you just say those words?
Yeah, no, they're playing like the best team.
Say the words. Repeat
they're
after
playing
me.
Like, they're playing like the best team in college basketball.
No, no, I want you to repeat after me.
Right UConn now, they're the best team in college basketball. The season is a long entity. Like, you can't just – I mean, yeah, right now, they're the best team. I watched a lot
say
of the
words, though. Not that, I don't want to hear – I don't want to hear they're the best team. I want a clippable thing right now where we can say Robbie Hummel said UConn is the best team in college basketball. Just say it.
All right, right now, UConn's the best team in college basketball.
There it is. There it is.
Hold on. My cat is doing.
What is Monty doing?
Monty is – he wants to play.
You have no control in your household.
He just walked over. I'm glad he didn't exit out of the Zoom call.
Monty just jumped on.
Monty maybe the cat.
Maybe Monty doesn't like the podcast.
He thinks that I need a better partner, I think.
I think he wants.
No, UConn is the best team. They are the best team. Now, that can change. It's not like a permanent designation, but the way they beat Marquette, my goodness. I mean,
they rolled.
That was a slaughter. From the Purdue angle, you know, they've won 9 of 10. So, like, when people are saying, should we be panicking? You've won 9 out of 10 games.
Right.
The road is tough.
Right.
And it really is. I think it's amazing that Zach Edey has probably in the last 2 years lost like, what, 7 or 8 games? Or over the last 3 years, they've lost 10 games. I bet they've had the court storm 10 times on them, which is pretty wild. But I don't think Purdue has been playing as well the last 2 weeks. You know, I haven't felt like they've maybe been
Minnesota,
at the level.
Right? They struggled against Minnesota, Northwestern.
Kind of walked through that game. The Indiana game, they didn't play well and still won by 20. You know,
so why? What's your biggest issue? If you're worried about one thing about Purdue, obviously we're talking about going into tournament now because, frankly, let's face it.
Well, I think I know what it is. I think it's any dynamic guard. I worry about that. I mean, Bruce Thornton had 22 and kind of kept Ohio State in the game early when it looked like Purdue might blow it open. Think about, like, Boo Booey went for 30. Mark Sears went for 30. Caleb Love went for 30.
Isn't that why they got Lance Jones? Isn't that why they got Lance Jones?
Yeah, but Lance Jones can only guard one guy. You know, like,
but shouldn't he be guarding that guy?
I'm trying to remember who Lance Jones guard. Did he get Caleb Love? He might have been guarding Colin Boswell. Maybe not. Maybe that was Braden. I can't remember at this point. It feels like 10 years ago.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, that's what he's out there to do. And I think he's been pretty good in that role. I was surprised they only got 9 threes up. That's impressive. But they were 3 of 9 from 3. I don't feel like Edey has been as efficient, and he's still been really good. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. And he kept bringing the ball down and Zed Key and those bigs just kept taking it from him. The guards. You allow those little guys to come in and take the ball from you. I think that he's got to get back to the level that we saw. And certainly they've been really good because they've made threes around him, you know, but I do think my biggest concern is when you get a dynamic guard, like a Mark Sears, like a Boo Booey, they have not been great at slowing those guys down.
I think part of my concern is Fletcher Lawyer lately.
That's
really
a good point
struggled, too. And he can't disappear. Like, his bad games, Rob, are bad. His great games are terrific.
He's been like that all year long. That's been like kind of. I mean, he had 28 on Tennessee. Think about that.
Yeah.
How many guys against Arizona? Tennessee 28 and 28 to Arizona.
Right. So here's my question to you: is that something where you would, if you were Payne, would you be looking to try to get Fletcher Lawyer on track early? And again, you're not looking to get 28 from him every night.
No, I just think you want consistent play. I mean, his last three games, he's 1 of 6 against Indiana, 1 of 5 against Minnesota, and he was 1 of 7 against Ohio State.
Right.
So it's not good enough. You know, and I think everybody knows that.
Why don't coaches do that, Rob? Why don't they run? Like, you know Zach Edey's going to get the ball. You're fine with Zach Edey, right? He's going to get his touches, okay? You know Braden Smith has the ball all the time. If I always say this about coaches, there's usually, like, one guy on a team that you're like, you want to get going because he's kind of the key, and he could be all or nothing. Wouldn't you be running something to try to get Fletcher Lawyer an easy look early in the game to get
him? Yeah, and they do run some of that handoff action to get him to his right hand. They do run some stuff for him, but he's got to make some, you know, he's got to make some shots. He's two of his last 13 from two, you know. It's not like it's just he's bricking threes. He's not making twos either. But that's a big thing going forward. They need him to be a factor. And if he's not going to be, you know, it's not like he's a great defender. You almost wonder, again, you don't want to crush Fletcher Lawyer's confidence by just benching him and trying to be like, well, we'll try Cam Heidi, or you need Fletcher Lawyer. Like you need him, I think, to be a factor. And
what's their best lineup stuff to him? Rob, what's Purdue's best lineup out there, in your opinion? I know it differs depending on matchups for the other team, but overall, what's the lineup you like the best for Purdue?
Edie, Gillis, Lance Jones, Braden Smith, and I guess Fletcher when he's going. And if not Fletcher, I guess Cam Heidi.
Yeah, I'm surprised Heidi hasn't gotten more time consistently throughout the year. I really am.
I mean, he's got a body. He guards. He can make a shot. He's a good piece.
Yeah, I just felt like he could.
But I think Fletcher gives you the high end, like 27. You have to keep coming back. 28 against or 27 against teams like Arizona and Tennessee. I don't know. But I think Gillis gives them the best fit. And Mason Gillis has had a great year for Purdue. Trey Coffin-Wren is different. You know, he's a beast on the offensive glass. Certain matchups, I think he's been really successful. But I think they're the best five with Gillis on the floor.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 as we all get ready for the best month of the year, March Madness. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD150 and you will get $150 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $5 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD150. That's FIELD150. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $150 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD150 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available in one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in Philly or New York, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create a new account in each state. It's easy, it's simple, and it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the conference tournaments and for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boost, and my personal favorite, a nice little parlay boost here and there. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today.
The UConn Huskies, as you mentioned, absolutely boat race Marquette. They've lost one game since, I think it's like mid-December.
They've won 14 straight, right?
Right. In a conference that, again, has some
the bottom has some bad, like DePaul, Georgetown. They are not
dead weight, but dead weight at the bottom. But again, listen, 14 straight is still 14 straight.
Well, and they've only played DePaul what, once in that stretch, and twice in that stretch, and Georgetown they've played both teams. They've played twice. They played both those teams. Twice.
Can you come back later, please? Thank you.
We got the cat interrupting. We got housekeeping interrupting. This is a disjointed podcast.
Shit show of a pod so far, especially when you have to admit that UConn is the best team in the country.
Well, they are right now.
Yeah. That is really tough. But they don't have.
It's not that tough for me. You know, it's really not that tough. They're playing great, so I can live with saying that.
Here's my difference for UConn is there's no hole on the Huskies, and I like their bench better. Obviously, we know they want it all too. So you've got a bunch of guys in Tristan Newton and Alex Caravan and Donovan McClingan that have rings, right? So they've already done it. They've got that kind of in the back of their mind that they've got that swagger. I honestly think Stephen Castle's been the kind of the guy that's come in along with Cam Spencer. I mean, Cam Spencer's been awesome. Don't get me wrong. He could be Big East Player of the Year. But Castle just gives him something different at the highest end where – like Lance Jones is solid for Purdue. Like Castle is unbelievable in terms of his upside.
I think saying that Lance Jones is just solid is disrespectful to Lance Jones. This team has lost three games, Jeff. Like I know that they didn't play well the last game, but just saying he's solid. And look, Steph Castle is really talented. He's probably going to be an NBA player in 4 months. But I think that Lance Jones is better than solid. I totally disagree with you.
All right. I mean, that's fine. That's fine. He's better than solid. But
I mean, we're acting like Purdue has lost four straight. They lost one game. So
They did. No, listen, I just think there's not a significant gap. But I think where we had them is like 1A and 1B before. I think now.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. But yeah. I think that you've been hanging out on After Dark too much. You're just, that's hot take central here. You know, what do you mean? Lance Jones only solid?
He's better than solid.
You've been on After Dark too much. You got to have these hot takes. This is what you are now.
I am not a hot take artist.
I don't know about that. I agree. UConn's the best. They are the best team.
Like, go through it and you're like, okay, Newton, really good, solid. Cam Spencer, really good, don't worry about him. Caravan, really good. Now, all three of those can shoot the hell out of it too, okay? Every time those guys shoot it, especially like Cam Spencer, you think it's going in. There's nobody for Purdue you can say that. There's nobody, even though they're shooting.
Which team shoots a better percentage from three?
I don't know, but which team in the NCAA tournament do you trust shooting
it? That's last year, dude. I'm just asking you a question. Which team has a better – I mean, Purdue is shooting 40% from three on the year. They're the fourth best shooting team, and you're trying to preach to me that UConn has these guys that never miss, and their team shoots 36. All mean, right. Come on. Like, some of the hyperbole here is wild. It really is. You got to look at the numbers.
All right.
I mean, UConn has great shooting. I'm not saying they don't. But when you're talking about how, oh, my God, UConn, they shoot the ball so amazing, yet they're 4 percentage points worse than Purdue. Come on.
Look at Hummel digging into his KenPom. Easy
to look at. I mean, anyone that pays $20 a freaking year can do it. So a lot of money. Maybe you need to invest. You need to invest in and having some knowledge instead of just throwing shit at the wall.
I live on Torvik. Live on it. Can you only
imagine? Yeah, Torvik's good too. They're both good.
I just don't, again, I like their bench. I think they've got more definition with the roles. The big question is like, Klain, can he stay on the floor against Edie if they play against each other? It's still the matchup everybody wants to see in the national title game. It would be really fun. Again, with the storylines, right? Think about that. Purdue, the storyline.
Repeat versus redemption, right? That's what it would be.
Redemption against the back-to-back. I mean, it'd be amazing.
Repeat against redemption, right?
Oh, I didn't hear you say repeat.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't just the Purdue angle. I gave the UConn one as well.
Yes, very nice. Very nice of you. Hey, going back to Ohio State quickly. If you're Ross Bjork, who's taken over as the AD and is going to make the call on this one, Gene Smith made the call to fire Holtman. Who do you want? Who would be? And I mean, I can give you a couple names here.
I mean, I think that the names are pretty universal, right? I mean, Sean Miller is going to be talked about. Yep. Greg McDermott is going to be talked about. Dusty May is going to be talked about. Am I missing anybody else?
Those are the main ones I think right now is you're looking at McDermott and Sean Miller probably.
Yeah.
Who do you like if you had to pick between those two, who would you take?
Man, I mean, I think Sean Miller is a really good coach, but I think Greg McDermott can. Their offense is awesome to watch. I'd be good with either. I mean, I think both would be good hires for Ohio State. I think McDermott in the Big Ten is incredibly interesting. You know, in a league that's so physical, to go with kind of the offense, the five out stuff they run. Yeah, I don't think that there's a wrong answer, but I'd be really intrigued by Greg McDermott at Ohio State.
Yeah, I think you're right. If you are Ross Bjork and you can get one of those two, you are celebrating. You
No
are
doubt.
absolutely celebrating. They're 1A and 1B as far as, you know, for my wish list. And, you know, I think McDermott's probably a little more movable, but the key for both of them leaving their current spots is NIL. What are you going to bring to the table for Ohio State NIL wise? Because Chris Holtmann did not have a huge war chest.
But how did they get such good recruiting? I mean, they brought in talented top 75 freshmen. How are they getting that without NIL?
I don't know if those guys were quite as in demand as they used to be, Rob.
No, that's true. But I also kind of thought that they had a plan to kind of not go the portal route and to go young. And I just still
You're
figured that
not
if you're a
paying
top
those
70,
guys as much, Rob. You're not
yeah,
having to
that's
pay
so wild that you can be
a top
sure.
50 freshman compared to a top 10 transfer.
No
It's
doubt.
a lot less money.
No, that's very true.
You know, those top 10 transfers, I mean, you're talking about, you know, anywhere from 300 to 500 grand.
Yeah.
You know, where a top 50 freshman, I don't know, 100 grand, maybe
Yeah,
somewhere around
probably.
there. So I bet Ohio State had a little over $1 million to work with. That would be my guess in NIL. We
What
never
is their football? What is their football team's budget?
probably 20 million, probably more. I don't
That's
know.
insane.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They were behind, I think, anyway. I think even their football was a little bit behind, but I'm sure they've
Yeah, it's been late to get there, but I think that they've found a way to catch up.
So I did a doubleheader on Saturday. We went to Texas A&M, Alabama, which was kind of a nondescript game. You know, we went
At
to,
Bama
yeah,
in
at Bama.
Tuscaloosa.
That was an afternoon game, actually 11 a.m. local game. And Texas A&M, they're okay. They're okay. He plays three bigs
Yeah.
at the same time. I don't understand it. Wade Taylor, I
Well, they
thought,
try to just crush you in the glass. I mean,
and they
that's
didn't.
their,
And they
yeah.
didn't crush Alabama on the glass. You need to almost double up teams on the glass
Yeah.
if you're going to play three bigs. And Nate Oates did a great job on Wade Taylor, and he's got a good team, not a great team. I mean, they're right now first place in the SEC. And I look
They
at,
play a fun brand of basketball. I mean, they shoot a
yes,
ton of threes, and they're the analytics guru's dream, you know. But
you know
yeah,
who's
A&M's
awesome?
the number one offensive rebounding team in the country, and that's what they have to do. If they don't do that, they're in trouble.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. I've used LinkedIn many a times, and listen, I'm not good at this stuff, but this is about as easy as it gets, and I found the right people as well. So it's been absolutely perfect for me. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. It has a vast network of more than 1 million professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. Gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. Does all that while making the process, like I said, so easy. Hiring is easy when you have that many quality candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats, might not have the time or resources to hire. So LinkedIn constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched the feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/good. That's linkedin.com/good to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Mark Sears for Alabama is freaking awesome. I mean,
Yeah,
he
but
is going
he's not on
crazy.
the koozie list though.
He should be. He should be in
I
the
know
koozie.
he should be.
It's
I know
insane
he
that he's
should be.
not. Like he
Well, the
actually
list
should
is
be
trash, so
maybe a
that's
top five point
why.
guard in the. He's carried them. Like he is. And watching him in person, it's really impressive because awesome. He's small and you don't think he's got an extra gear, but he does. Like he can get to the basket. He's got that gear. He can shoot it from three. He can make people better. He's really good. They don't really guard.
How talented was that Ohio team? I know that he was young, but man, really good. They had a lot of good players.
Yes. So then we went to Kentucky Auburn and we were expecting, you know, in the jungle at Neville, like, all right, this could get ugly the way Kentucky's been guarding lately. And it was kind of ugly. Kentucky pretty much led wire to wire. Auburn never truly threatened. You know, they cut it to five and then Antonio Reeves hit a three. Reeves was unbelievable, made every big shot. But Kentucky held Auburn to, I think it was 59 points.
59 points, yes.
Yeah. And they had just held Ole Miss to 63. And they guarded and they got up in. That was a big difference. I thought they got up in Auburn's guards. And the other thing was, it's a good matchup for Kentucky, Rob, because Auburn's guards can't really make plays one-on-one. They're not guys that are going to blow by you. They're small, and they're not lightning quick, and they don't shoot it great. So it kind of was a good matchup for Kentucky. Are you back now? Are you feeling pretty good about Kentucky again? Because I know I'm encouraged
that they hold anybody to 59. You know, you look at box scores and you're like, well, another 90-point game where Kentucky gives up that many points. I need to see more of this, but you got to see them in person. Is this sustainable for Kentucky?
Well, again, I think part of it was matchups. That when you have a dynamic guard and they're going against them, it just seems like they play the Ole defense a lot of times, and they just let guys go right by him. I think their manhood was questioned, and they hurt it. And it's like, you know, people said it about you, right? You know, he can't guard, he can't guard, he can't guard.
They did not say that about me.
And finally,
maybe in the NBA, they said that, but I was a strong positional defender. So
I know I said that about you in college. I know I said he can't guard. Maybe you just weren't listening to me. But
you know what? That just shows me that maybe you just don't know the game that well. Maybe you just don't know it that well.
But I guess what I'm getting at is and it's a little bit different now than when you play because Twitter and the social media universe wasn't what it is. But these Kentucky kids are seeing it on social
media. No, I mean, you're hearing it every day. You're hearing it every day.
You can't guard. You guys suck defensively. Yeah. Right?
Were you more impressed with Kentucky or more disappointed in Auburn in watching this game? Oh,
it's a good question. Impressed with Kentucky. Definitely impressed. But also, just when you saw Auburn in person, you're like, oh, my God, Bruce Pearl has done an unbelievable job with this group, getting them to where they are right now, that they're, you know, a 3-4 seed, somewhere in that range. Amazing because they don't have – I mean – Jani Broome's good. He's good, but he's not like all world good. Like the talent gap, Rob, was incredible to watch between Kentucky and Auburn on the court. Incredible.
Right.
But the most entertaining part was like post game. Cause Cal.
Yeah, was that maybe to you?
I don't know. Everybody says it was. I was videoing it because he started his rant. And normally I don't video a post game. But I was like, oh, man, this is going to be fun. He started talking about, you know, don't go after my players.
But that was my question. Who's gone after any of his players other than so they don't guard? I mean, that's a fact.
As a team, nobody singled out a player and said, like, he's not guarding. He's the problem. It's a team thing where if you're giving up 93, 100 points.
I mean, the box score can tell you they don't guard.
Yes.
You don't even have to watch the game and you can see that their defense has been bad.
I was just shocked that he didn't come out and do what most coaches would have done after that game. But he's Cal. He's always got
like, yo, we can build on this. This is a step forward.
Yeah. Like, hey, that was a great performance. I'm really proud of these kids and they've made a lot of progress in the last
Did he went so. On the offensive at Jeff.
Totally.
Goodman.
And it's like you're puffing your chest out. When you haven't done anything in the tournament in 4 years, instead of being humble. And then he goes on to his rant of like, well, guys, I got to go because I'm flying to Indianapolis to watch our record-setting number of NBA All-Stars. Like, dude, come on. Enough.
Do you think that Kentucky fans were hyped to hear that?
I don't know.
That made their – but you know what? When you win, you can – it's more tolerable to hear that type of statement. At least they didn't lose and he said he was going to do that. That would have been really bad.
Well, that's the thing right now. The Kentucky fans were like, you know, they're up And then 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they're like, this team sucks. We suck. And now they're back again. They're feeling good. So, you know, we'll see where they go. But certainly they look like a team that can make some noise.
That's a big game next Saturday. Alabama at home. Yeah. That's a big one.
If they just guard, they don't have to do that every game. Because, again, Alabama is a little bit – they're more dynamic.
They're more dynamic than
Auburn is. Yeah. And remember, you know, Jalen Williams got hurt in that game. Luckily, he's not out for the season. You know, the other thing with Kentucky, Rob, that I thought was important was the kid Onyensu played like 30-plus minutes. And Trey Mitchell was hurt again. And defensively, he's so much better because he gives you a shot blocker. He gives you a guy that can clean up some of their mistakes. I would be playing him 28 minutes every game from here on out. Big Z wouldn't see the floor. Aaron Bradshaw played like three.
The hype of Big Z has petered out. It's definitely the debut was impressive.
He's always going to have the debut, Rob. Always. You can't
take
it away
from Big Z. That's high level stuff for him. He came out guns blazing. I thought it was funny just in reading some stuff about the Kentucky Auburn game. All I saw was about how both fan bases, more so Auburn, but they thought the game was officiated in like the most horrible way. That's all you see anymore. Every fan base. The game was a tragedy, ref show. And then I saw a clip of, I think it was where Jalen Williams got hurt. He went up to dunk that.
Yep.
Dude, the defender goes vertical. Jalen Williams hits this dude right in the face with his off arm. And then there is some, but it's like, and this Auburn fan is just like, this is a clear foul. And all I thought was, this is definitely an offensive foul.
It's amazing.
It blows me away. Every game you watch, every game you do, the losing team, it's never, oh, well, we gave up 20 offensive rebounds, or, oh, we went 2 of 30 from three, or, oh, we did this. You know, it's always the ref screwed us. And that has to just be exhausting for everybody. I am so sick of hearing that. But that's all you hear. That's all we hear now.
You do. Hey, you saw Illinois this weekend. Give me your take kind of where they're at now, Rob, now that they've had 3 weeks or so with Terrence Shannon back. Like, do you feel much better? And you can also break down Coleman Hawkins' social media game if you'd like as well.
That's an interesting thing there. I think I like Illinois. You know, I think that they're kind of finding their way with Shannon back in the lineup. He was phenomenal in the win at Maryland. They still do some things late game that make you really scratch your head. And I come back to the game in Northwestern. Think about the way they imploded late against Nebraska. There's a couple others where they have not. Michigan State. The Michigan State game, they go from up 6 or 7 to down 5 in the matter of like 2.5 minutes. So there's still some late game things. And there was a play that swung the game. Coleman Hawkins saved a ball. Through like, think about when you were playing 500 as a kid and you throw a pass and he throws it back towards Maryland's basket to half court. It gets stolen and Marcus Damask makes just an incredible play. Hawkins goes, I think when he saved it, he fell down. So he gets back up. Damask gets the stop. They throw it down 4-point swing and a 5-point swing. Yeah. It was an and one. Yeah. So that kind of changed. That was the game there. Play of the game. And you know, that could have went the other way easily. You save the ball going to the other end where Jameer Young could have easily scored that, and it's catastrophic. You maybe lose the game. So there's still some late game things. I still think they need to guard better. They have not been as they just aren't sound scouting report wise. They mess things up where you're like, that can't be what the plan is, right? But I like their talent, man. I think and Damask is a really good player. Shannon has just been a beast here. I mean, it's been 30-point games and the way he played.
Shooting it like he did before his suspension.
He made five against Michigan. He was 1 for 7 against, but he had 27 points. I mean, he got to the line 16 times. In transition, he's just a monster. You know, the rules are set up to where it's going to probably either be a foul or a basket every time. But yeah, good win. A place they haven't won. They haven't won there since 2011.
There is nothing in sports better than the heart of the college basketball season, which is why I need to tell you guys about our partners over at Rhythm. If you're into sports betting, you need Rhythm, the place for data-backed props and picks. For those that are unfamiliar, Rhythm, spelled R-I-T-H-M-M, is the go-to mobile app for player props and game picks. Backed by AI predictive models, Rhythm helps you make smarter and faster betting decisions across all sports, but particularly college hoops, where there are as many as 150 games a day during conference play. Many of which have softer lines at BetMGM than you'll find in the NFL or the NBA. With Rhythm, you get data-backed picks for every Division I game every day. Users get free picks daily with the ability to upgrade to unlimited access. And for those of you already using modeling, you can build custom sports betting models within the Rhythm app itself. I am a Rhythm user, and I found that I've been a better when I focus on lines where my gut and Rhythm's modeling are aligned. When I think UConn can cover on the road against Butler and Rhythm backs that up, we fire. But Rhythm also helps lead you to plays that you didn't know you needed to make. Like, for example, when the data says bet the over in UMass Lowell versus New Hampshire because you have a 61% edge on that line, you bet the over and you bink. So if you want to increase your edge and win more bets, go to the link in the description below and download Rhythm today. That's R-I-T-H-M-M, the place for data-backed props and picks.
So are you in with, are you now, because again, you know, my biggest question has always been point guard.
Point guard, yeah.
Like, where are you with that, and how far has Ty Rodgers come since the beginning of the season? Do you feel better about that? Like, are you ready to tell me, hey, you're out of your mind here?
No. Ty Rodgers has played well. You know, he's kind of like fluctuated in what he's had games where he's just unbelievable rebounding. He's had games where he's scored. He's had games where he's only played 8 minutes. You know, he's kind of up and down. Their lineup is fascinating right now because Rodgers' minutes fluctuate. Luke Goody has gone from starting to playing. He played 9 minutes at Maryland. Justin Harmon gave good minutes and he struggled. I still that's a concern to me. I mean, it's a non-traditional team. They've had times where it's fine. They've had times where I think you could maybe blame the late game struggles on the fact that they don't have a traditional point guard to get them into things. But I think they're talented. And I think they've got guards that can go, and that can take you a long way.
Yeah, I mean, I've come around on them.
You were saying they weren't going to make the tournament for a while.
I said if they didn't have Shannon, they would. If you took the body of work without Terrence Shannon for the rest of the season, if he didn't come back, they would have been a fringe tournament team.
Also did a pretty good job without him. They lost at Purdue. Yeah,
they had a big win against FDU.
They beat Northwestern by a million. They beat Michigan State. They still had some good wins without him.
Yeah, again, I think they would have been 500-ish in the league without him if you had gone through the entire Big Ten slate. So maybe a game or two above. Well, that's right now, if you say that about any team in the Big Ten, unless you beat Purdue.
That's true. And the Florida Atlantic win looks kind of worse by the day, and they didn't. None of their other wins were all that impressive in the non-conference.
Last thing before we go. Indiana loses another one at home, this one to Northwestern without Barry. And I think they played a walk-on a ton of minutes. You would know this better than me for Northwestern. I didn't see the game.
Not a ton. Blake Smith played 13 minutes. He has to play now.
How embarrassing has it gotten right now in Bloomington?
Well, I just like, if they could have given the effort they gave at the end of the game took forever to finish. And I thought that they were kind of more effective at the end offensively because they played a lineup with more of four guards. You know, you have Mbaka with the four. Renu was not good. He did not play well. And then he fouled out.
And he can't guard at all, Rob. He honestly, defensively, he's such a liability. Whatever he gives you offensively, he's got to get better defensively next year. Has to.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. They're not well put together. Their guards aren't good enough. They don't defend well. They just aren't very good. I think that's just what this comes down to. And credit Chris Collins, because losing Barry, and they could have won at Rutgers, and they do win in Indiana, is pretty incredible. And Blake Smith.
They got a chance.
Blake Smith hit. I did the game for Northwestern. Who was the first game after Barry was hurt? He got hurt in the – no, Penn, I did the Penn State game. Okay. Blake Smith had played 10 seconds all year, and he played 13 minutes at Assembly Hall. Think about that. That's pretty amazing. Chris Collins has done a phenomenal job. Wow. It looks like they're going to make the tournament. And he had done a great job with the team leading up to the Barry injury.
Yep.
But the way that he's kind of wheeled and dealed here, Matthew Nicholson was great. He was great in that game. He made some really big plays. Yeah. But yeah, Indiana's just not very good. I think that's what it comes down to. They don't make winning plays. Defensively, they're not very good. They play a lineup that is really not effective in today's college basketball landscape. They're not a good team.
I'll see them. Not the men's team. I'm going to go out to Bloomington later this week to see the good team, the women's team, Thursday when Caitlin Clark comes to town. But I got a great 3 days coming up, Rob. Think about this. San Diego State at Utah State tomorrow.
Okay? That'll be good. Utah State's great. Great atmosphere, right?
I've never been there. Like, I'm dying to go to the Spectrum. Like, dying. Like, and again, I heard they hate each other. San Diego State and Utah State fans, like, their programs hate each other. I don't know why. I'm going to find out. And then I'm going to go to Colorado State at New Mexico Wednesday. Never been to
it. Nice.
So that'll be awesome. Again, those are four, probably the top four teams in the Mountain West. And then go see Caitlin Clark if I make it. I got a tight layover in Dallas.
Look at you, though, with the Mountain West. You were at Mountain West Media Day. That's where my accuracy with the pen throw was on display.
That was like your claim to fame.
Across the ballroom.
The best throw you've ever had. Pass. I don't know what we call that, but that might have been the most on target you've ever been.
I mean, it was just, if I wanted to drop that pen in your lap from 30 feet, it was, or 30
you
yards.
You could have.
30 yards.
But too bad you can't hit a 30-foot putt.
Well, you know what?
We'll
see this summer. Scottsdale, here we come.
7 weeks, Rob. 7 weeks from today.
Yeah.
7 weeks
part
from
tomorrow. Part of me feels like this season has flown by, and part of me feels like this is just like December feels like a year ago.
Yeah, it does.
Some of those games in December.
That Purdue-Arizona game.
I know. It feels like a lifetime season.
Yeah. Right? The game that is going to forever live in the history of embarrassment for me.
Betting lore.
It's all right. Next year, we got to get Zach Edey off to the NBA. That's the key, right? Like, I got to get him off to the NBA, and then I'm going to get revenge. We're going to have payback next year when those two teams play again. So
we'll see.
Right, listen, thanks for joining us. Goodman and Hummel podcast. Hope Monty really enjoyed it. He was on his best behavior for the last half of the pod. So that was nice of him. Go give Monty some time. All right. Monty some time. He deserved it here. Give him some, I don't know. What do you give him? Kibble? What do you give cats?
He likes these things called churros. They're like yogurts for cats.
Ooh, very nice. Very nice.
He's a blessed cat. He totally is.
Oh, yeah. So blessed. He never sees you. How many days? You're gone.
You think I'm an absentee father? Well, his mother spoils him to death, so he's fine.
Okay. Good. I'm glad somebody does, because you are kind of an absentee dad. I'm worried about
you. Only in the wintertime.
I'm worried about
you. Only in the winter.
All right.
But he's always happy to see you
next week. Goodman and Hummel Pod. Goodman and Hummel podcast, and we got Robbie Hummel.
I'd known you since you were a kid.
I could blow my knee out, both knees, and still kick your ass.
We're trying to find the Robbie Hummel statue.
I wanted to kill you.